305 DGS coming up at about 3:15. We're going to meet Crystal Quaid for the first time. She's running for governor on the Democrat side against Mike Kehoe. Wheels, let's follow up on something that you talked about on the break, relative to sports, which I thought was really interesting. You said that if you were the GM of the Cardinals, you would not do the typical spend the offseason trying to sell tickets, trying to hype people up, because you think that's one of the reasons we're staying stuck.
It's a, you know, there's a hard balance, right? There's the baseball and any sport. I mean, this is basketball, hockey, whatever, but I'm speaking baseball as the example. There's the baseball side and there's the business side, right? So the business side is essentially selling tickets. Selling tickets requires exciting fans in advance. So how do you do that? Well, you do that by building consistent seasons. That's one way, right? That's what the Cardinals have done for 20 plus years. They have had consistency, contention, playoff runs, and the further you get away from that, the harder it is to sell tickets, right? But the best way to sell tickets is to be good and to just be good consistently because people know what they're getting. Another way is to have a win the offseason. You go spend a bunch of money, you sign a Shohei Ohtani, you sign the biggest stars out there, and people are like, oh, wow, yeah, I'm going to buy tickets because I want to see that player. And that there, that's another way to do it. And then obviously you can make other moves, right? Like sometimes changing a manager can do that, but it has to be a special thing, right? It would have to be like, we're bringing in Albert Pujols to be the manager. But even that probably doesn't sell tickets, at least not that much. But the problem with the Cardinals, I think, in this particular situation is, and Ricky pointed out, they're not going to raise their payroll significantly while the local TV contracts are up in the air. And they are, because the company that owns Bally is in bankruptcy. And all of this is being sorted out as to what it's going to mean. What are those rights he's going to be? Now, in a few years down the road, it could be worth more. And it could be held in-house. MLB could take it. And it could be a better deal for you. But right now, it's an uncertainty. So my argument is, don't try to sell tickets this offseason. Like, and I mean, yes, try. Put together great packages and giveaways and things like that. Maybe do some deals for people where they get excited about that. But don't try to build the roster to sell tickets. And I don't think they always do that, but I think this is a dangerous spot because this is going to be one of the first off seasons where it's back-to-back disappointing years. This year's not terrible. Last year was terrible. This year's not terrible. This year's just kind of average. But average after terrible is not going to excite people, right? So maybe take the harder approach, which is we've still got to sort through this. We shall have to give runway to the guys we think can be stars. We've got to play Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman. Because the future of this franchise on the field in the next 3 to 5 years is largely going to be weighted on what those two guys are capable of. Because Goldschmidt's a free agent at the end of the year. You could bring him back, but even if you do, he's not going to be all-star Paul Goldschmidt in the future. He's getting closer to 40. He's 37 now. Nolan Arenado is going to keep getting older. Older usually means worse. Maybe it won't be like a full, complete, consistent decline, but it could be step back this year, maybe okay next year, maybe another step back the year. But you have to assume that 3 to 5 years down the road, he's not Nolan Arenado anymore. That's just how time works, right? So who are your stars if not Gorman and Walker? And I mean your power hitters. Because Wynn's a star. Wynn's exciting and awesome, but he's not a power hitter.
Why do you think I'm not a believer in Walker and Gorman? I root for them. I'd like to see Gorman hit 50 home runs. I'd like to see Walker hit 400 average. I like them very much. They seem like nice young kids, Cardinals. I like them. I just don't believe it. Do you think it's that I'm just not used to seeing 22-year-old kids?
I think so. That's some of it, Dave. Yeah, I think some of it's that. Some of it's also that the Cardinals have not had success lately fixing guys that get into the spots that those guys are currently in. They just haven't, you know. And in a couple of cases, like in the case of Randy Arozarena, they just never gave him a chance to play here. When they had a need, they called him up and then didn't use him and then sent him back down. So there's a little bit of that, but your worry about that is a valid worry. Now, I think that they have special talent that you can't teach. Bat speed and the ability to hit the ball hard and the ability to hit the ball far are things you can't just automatically teach someone. Like Jordan Walker is in the top tier of major league players when it comes to how hard he hits the ball and how fast he swings the bat. That's not the problem. The problem for him is swinging. It's swing decisions, which is what we call it. You know, like when you're talking about hitting, like which pitches do you choose to swing at? Which ones do you lay off of? It's swing decisions, and then fixing holes in your swing. Right? He's not good at on off speed breaking balls low and away, but he still swings at them. So those are the harder things to fix, but they're fixable. You know, Nolan Gorman just swings and misses too much. I mean, when you strike out too much, you have to put the ball in play more. More contact will mean more home runs. So with him, it's probably more of a factor of swing decisions combined with reining it in a little bit. You don't have to try to hit every ball 500 feet. 370 is a home run. It doesn't have to go 500, right? Like, that's something when you watch a guy like Mike Trout. He's not swinging to hit the ball 500 feet. He's swinging to hit the ball hard, and sometimes it'll go 500 feet. But again, 375 is still a home run when you pull it. You know, 400 is a home run in almost every ballpark, almost anywhere in the ballpark. So you don't have to go that far. But they haven't really had success fixing those guys in recent years, which is why you have that fear. And it's a justified fear. It's not irrational. In fact, I think a lot of Cardinals fans feel the same way. They're worried that those guys won't be what they could be. And if those two are not what they can be or close to it, we're going to have more of this because you don't have that from outside. And getting the power bats for the middle of the order from the outside is now $30, $35, $40 million a year on 10-year deals or 8-year deals. And the Cardinals aren't going to do that. So you need these guys to be that, or you need to find some, you know, find a way to trade for another Arenado. But even that's coming at a price tag. That's a $30, $35 million commitment.
So bottom line, we have our core.
You have the pieces of the core, right? Mason Wynn's a core piece. I mean, he absolutely is. You need Gorman and Walker to be that. I think Contreras is a core piece. And it's a middle-of-the-order hitting catcher. That's an incredibly valuable guy. Sonny Gray is a core piece, but probably a short-term core piece because of his age, and he's only under contract for 2 years after this year. So and they will have a wave. There will be more guys that show up that, you know, like maybe J.J. Weatherholt was the first round pick this year. He has a chance to be that. I mean, this is a special player who was supposed to be in the conversation to go number one overall before he had a hamstring injury during his college season. He might be one of those guys, but the where you are now and being good next year and the years after that is going to be a lot about what happens with Gorman and Walker. And you kind of have to plan on that for next year. If they're not going to get that run, then what happens?
Guys, DGS 319. Happy Tuesday to you. So Crystal Quaid is the Democrat candidate for Missouri governor. I'm sure you've seen her ads or seen her on television. She is live in studio with us. Really nice to meet you. Been looking forward to it for a while now. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You've done this a gazillion times and introduce yourself, I'm sure, even to the KMOX audience. But introduce yourself to the Dave Glover audience. Let them know who you are.
Yeah, well, I grew up in rural Southwest Missouri out in Webster County, and I come from a regular working class family. My mom waited tables my whole life up until just a few weeks ago, quite honestly. And my stepfather drove almost an hour to get to the factory every day. And because of their hard work and dedication, I'm the first in my family to graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. I worked my way through Missouri State University down in Springfield to become a social worker. And after school, I did a little bit of government work. I interned in Jefferson City. I worked for the U.S. Senate for a minute. Then worked on some campaigns, came back home, became a social worker, started my family, and ran for the state house in 2016. Decided to run for the most contested house seat in all of Missouri and became the only elected Democrat in the southern half of the state in the House or Senate. And you know, often folks will ask, how in the world did you do that down in Springfield? And my answer is quite honest. We showed up and we talked to people and we asked them, what do you want from your government? And I had my yard sign as a Democrat right next to Donald Trump yard signs in the same yard in 2016. Mm. Not because we agreed on everything, but because when I talked to folks and asked them, you know, what do you want from government? It was, I can't find childcare. It's too expensive. I'm worried about public schools. I'm scared to go to the doctor because I don't want to become bankrupt, right? And these aren't partisan issues. And that's how we were able to win down in Southwest Missouri. I've been serving in the legislature for the last 8 years, six of them as the Democratic leader, and have been spending a lot of time, you know, working across the aisle, trying to find places where we can compromise with the majority party, since we are in the minority in Jefferson City, and pushing things that folks sent me there to do, things like childcare, foster care help, trying to look at the tax structure in Missouri in a way that really benefits people instead of the wealthiest and the corporations. And I decided to jump into this race for governor, quite honestly, because we deserve better than what we've been getting in our state. You know, we have the lowest paid teachers in the country. We have lost 18 rural hospitals in the last decade. We've got roads and bridges crumbling. You know, here in the city of St. Louis, we're short 300 officers right now. And we're seeing that pattern across the whole state. And we deserve better than what we've been getting. And that's why I wanted to jump in.
It's a good story. It's a really good story. I have a similar story. I grew up in a small refinery town. Going to college just wasn't on radar. I'll lift heavy things for a living at some point. Went and took an athletic scholarship, ended up at WashU Law School, and kind of the rest is history. But it has always given me, I don't know if you're like this, but it always gave me a healthy skepticism about the man. You know, my dad was a Democrat union carpenter. I was talking about the man making his money off the sweat of his back. So I've always had a bit of a, you know, thumb on the scale there. And while I know a lot of politicians, a lot of federal politicians, I know a lot of big people, I still feel on the outside. Mm-hmm. There's still something like I'm not quite allowed to come in. You know, I don't quite get what you guys are doing in there. Do you kind of even after being there for a while?
I appreciate that because, you know, I tell this story a lot, but when I was in college, I decided to intern in Jefferson City to learn more. And it was at that moment that I was like, wow, these people don't understand anything about what regular folks are going through.
Exactly.
And I'll never forget the feelings of a young person listening to these lawmakers talk about low-income families, families with addiction, families like mine, with such disgust and lack of understanding. And I'm like, man, we need more voices at the table. And, you know, I understand the sentiment of the man and, you know, the fist in the air about that. But I realized really quickly that the best thing I could do was engage in that and jump into it and try to fix it from the inside, and really try to make change through public policy.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, I mean, yeah, I still, even after 8 years of serving, of course, feel that way. And I would say a lot of it is because what we're seeing in Jefferson City are the decision makers are often influenced by the largest donor who contributes to their campaigns. There's so much done with a focus on special interests and not everyday people. And I'm sure part of that is because I'm in the minority party that I feel that still outsideness. But really, I want to see more focus on everyday people in our state. And I'm just not seeing that. And so I definitely still feel that way.
I'm sure the answer is both. But to what extent is the gum in the works when you're frustrated or Ian's frustrated or, you know, Igel's frustrated? Is it primarily, does it seem to you, with the institution? Like, man, if we could just get in here and monkey with this or monkey with that or turn this screw left and turn this screw right? Or is it really the people? Like, if this bastard, which, you know, is it like which does it feel more frustrating?
I think it's a both and. I will tell you that the past 2 years have been the most frustrating with the people who are there. What I have seen in my time is, you know, particularly because of term limits, you have all of these folks who are running against each other for higher office. I mean, everyone remembers the primaries that we just had here in Missouri and how disgusting those ads were all over the place. And it was, you know, mainly the one party attacking each other. I know in St. Louis it was a little different because you guys have some more primaries, but as a whole in the state, it was just these primaries that were so gross. And those same people in the legislature are holding things up and holding things hostage. Folks may not know that this year, even though the Republicans controlled the House, the Senate, and all statewide, it was the least amount of bills passed in Missouri's history. And, you know, I'm not somebody who's saying like we should be passing things left and right, but we should at least be having discussions when we are the lowest paid teachers in the country and when we rank last on everything. Mm-hmm. Instead of any solutions, you have these people mm-hmm. who are just holding things hostage. Quite frankly, the extremists of the different parties, the ones who are really holding that down. And it is really frustrating. Of course, there's a lot on the bureaucratic side, solutions that we can come to the table to streamline things, and especially for small business owners and folks who are trying to get up and running in our state. But I feel like that's kind of a separate conversation.
Yeah. How do you, so I'm sort of always been an independent, but I spent 20 years over on 97.1 and, you know, sort of a reformed Republican MAGA left me cold. You'll get the Democrat votes. Mike Kehoe, as you know, sort of looks like central casting. Hey, he's going to be the governor of Missouri. Here you go. Put him in there. How do you attract people who might think they're going to default to Kehoe, but take another look at you?
Yeah, I think that answer is multi-layered. But the first thing I would say is what we get from Kehoe, from the establishment and the status quo that we have in our state right now, is anything but personal freedoms and the things that I hear about from folks every day. The amount of government overreach into our personal lives right now is insane. Whether that's in the doctor's offices, you know, of course, we could talk all day long about women's reproductive health care and what we're seeing right now where women are in active miscarrying, going to the doctor and doctors are telling them you have to go home. You're not close enough to death yet because they're scared they're going to get in prison for providing health care to, you know, what books our children can read. I mean, I'm a mom. I want to have control over what my kid is reading, not some bureaucrat in Jefferson City who doesn't know me, down to our local clean drinking water. I mean, the amount of taking away from local control and personal responsibility that we have seen from this government, which my opponent is a part of, is frustrating. And I think that crosses party lines. You know, Missourians, we are stubborn people. and you know, I want to raise my family how I want to. And I don't want government intruding in my personal life.
Yeah.
And I think that that speaks to everybody in our state.
Anything you'd like to clear up? If I were on commercials and people were like, she thinks this, I'd be like, oh, give me a chance. Anything you'd like to clear up that is sort of a narrative about you or your campaign that's just not true?
Of course. You know, as the Democratic leader in Missouri and quite frankly, as a candidate who's been running on the Democratic ticket for a long time, I'm going to be painted as the crazy liberal, whether it's me, you know, standing next to AOC, whom I've never met, with like money coming out of my pockets and the mail pieces that people send. You know, it's always the same. Right. And it's the same talking points from everybody, regardless of who's running for this position on the Democratic side. But what I want to say to folks is, you know, the role of governor is probably the least partisan position that we have in our state. The role of the governor is to put forward our budget, which is supposed to be a moral document that is putting emphasis on regular people throughout our state, creating a scenario where our families and young people want to stay in Missouri, where they can thrive, start a business, start their family, have access to health care, have access to an education, or if they don't want to go to a four-year institution, have access to a good paying job, right? And those shouldn't be partisan issues. And so what I would say to answer your question is, you know, dig in a little bit more on my history and what I've done in Jefferson City and the issues that I've fought for and the things I've fought against. And I think folks will see something that they're interested in.
Where do people do that, Crystal?
Yeah. So my website is Crystal Quaid. That's CrystalQuade.com.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Green seagull.
start.
Three false starts. Jeez.
I just threw a flag.
I started talking three times and nothing came out.
You know how many times I've done that?
Mm.
Millions.
It's a weird feeling.
It is. It's weird. You start talking, you're like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Throws everything off.
Crystal Quaid was very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I liked her a lot.
Me too.
Very nice.
Big fan.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I thought maybe we had an extended bathroom break there.
It wasn't that long,
just
Dave.
Just Andrew.
Yeah. No.
That's pretty just, long.
Just me in the bathroom.
So I have here. You'll get this, Dave. I've gone from hating Matt Chambers because he's telling me that it's going to be 95 degrees to being really happy because it was going to be 49 during the morning. And now I'm just kind of not paying attention because I know it's hotter than I want it to be, but it's not aggressively hot. So I'm just sort of like,
right.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Plus, you know what you got going for you tonight is the full moon, the
nice.
Full harvest moon.
Nice.
And there's a partial eclipse of the moon tonight. It's not going to be much. You're going to have to really be paying attention. It's at 9:41 is the maximum of the total eclipse. It's not a total eclipse. I shouldn't say that. Partial eclipse. And there's just a little sliver of the moon that's going to go dark. But if you're out there,
yeah.
First of all, you have to find the moon. But once you find the moon, you'll be okay.
He never forgets.
Easier said than done. I'm telling you.
He never forgets.
Telling you. I couldn't find that damn moon for anything.
Okay. And I want you to just go outside around, you know, do 9:15. Give yourself plenty of time here. 9:30. And you're going to look in the eastern sky.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put your hand up about, let's say 30 degrees. And you'll be pointing right at the moon.
Impossible to measure any of these things.
30
east,
degrees.
30 degrees. Get out of here.
So that's about right at eye level, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right at eye level.
A little, yeah.
Dumb it down a little
you
bit for us,
that.
Dave Murray.
Oh, wow.
Dave, you ever track the ISS, the ISS and watch it?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
It's really cool.
That's fun to do.
It is really cool. I think there are some people who think, you know, that it's going to be like a Star Wars thing. But it's a bright, fast-moving star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat to watch. It grabs your attention, and it's like, when you really think about it,
yeah.
That's really cool.
Have you guys seen the Starlink when that goes by?
Yes, mm-hmm. One time.
It looks like a choo-choo train in the sky.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a spectacular launch out of Vandenberg about a month ago. There's actually a launch tomorrow morning. But we'll see what happens with that. We'll not be visible in St. Louis.
I'm old enough. I remember seeing Skylab. Remember Skylab, Dave?
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah, I'm into all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm into all that astronomy stuff.
What's that, Andrew?
What's Skylab?
Skylab was like the original ISS.
Yeah, it was before that.
Were there like people in it?
Yes,
I believe
it was a lab. Yeah, so that means they meet people go in there and do stuff.
These two have been fighting all day, Dave.
He's been so mean to me.
Are there people in the lab? Nope, they just sent a lab into space for no reason.
They sent dogs and monkeys up there. Maybe it's a dog and monkey lab.
Do you think it's like the dog lab?
Sky
like
Labrador.
It's a yellow lab?
Could be a dog lab.
I love it. That's great. It was a black lab. You wouldn't be able to see it in the sky.
So, relief by the weekend, Dave, or no?
Let's not get our hopes up for it. I think it will be a little bit cooler for the weekend, but the cooler air that I see on the horizon is not until probably the middle of next week. So, we've got a couple of warm to hot days. The mornings are fine, but they're not cool by any means. But 89, 90 should do it for the high tomorrow. Lots of sunshine. So just a couple of degrees warmer than today. 90 degrees on Thursday, sunshine. Friday, I'm going to put in a chance of a couple of spot showers in the morning. Otherwise, it's partly sunny and 92 degrees on Friday. I think that's going to feel a little bit on the hot side. Fall officially begins on Sunday, September 22nd at 7:43 in the morning.
That's positive. I like that.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I don't care if it's fall if it's still going to be 100 degrees out.
I love the voice you do, Andrew. All of a sudden, Beavis and Butthead came into the studio.
Yes.
yeah.
Speaking of, do you have some headlines?
I do have some headlines, and they are some good ones. And it's nothing awkward like it's been in the past, nothing weird.
Okay.
These are really good, and I'm going to do a really good job at it.
When's Rachel come back?
Not soon
like
enough.
Like 4 years.
Not fast enough. DM, not fast enough. Top story, Red Lobster exits Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They approved their restructuring, their reorganizing, and so Red Lobster no longer in the red. They are Green Lobster now.
Weren't you?
How about that?
I'm not just calling you out on this. I'm really curious. Didn't you claim like they were done because of their leases or something like that?
They were in a very dangerous predatory situation where the company that owned them now no longer does. They've been acquired by a different investment company, so who knows if it'll be the same thing. But the prior investment company sold the land that Red Lobster was on and then was charging them for. So where they used to own they went from owning all their restaurants to not owning their restaurants and having to pay rent towards it. It was a very predatory situation that the company themselves found themselves in to the benefit of the investment group that owned them. That ended up, I think, ultimately, I'm sure it gained them some money, but now it seems that it has not worked anymore since they have been sold to Fortress Investment Group, which I guess is good.
Look at this. Andrew's sounding like business news all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't. Hey, listen, when it involves Red Lobster, that's when I include myself in. That's what it takes to get me.
That's a heart topic.
That's what it takes to get me invested in business news. The new CEO said Red Lobster is now a stronger, more resilient company, and today is the start of a new chapter. But they will not be reopening any of the closed ones, but they will be not closing anymore for the time being, it sounds like. Online grocery shopping is going to shoot way up during the holidays, it's expected. When you have your holiday parties, it's more it's assumed now that people are going to be using like Amazon, Instacart, other deliveries, shopping services to bring you all your groceries. How do you guys feel about that?
Why would that be shooting up for the holidays?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I think specifically because if I had to guess at least, it doesn't say anything in the story, but if I had to guess, there is a certain stigma around going to the grocery store around the holidays.
And it does going suck.
It's going to be a nightmare that sucks, and then you look at something like Instacart or Amazon deliveries, and you go, hey, this could suck for you and not me, and I'll kick you cash.
What do you guys do with your DoorDashes? Because if I DoorDash McDonald's, and it ends up, and this is... False starts.
Jeez. I just threw a flag.
I started talking three times and nothing came out.
You know how many times I've done that?
Millions.
It's a weird feeling.
It's weird. You start talking, you're like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Throws everything off.
Crystal Quaid was very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I liked her a lot.
Me too.
Very nice.
Big fan.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I thought maybe we had an extended bathroom break there.
It wasn't that long.
Just
babe.
Andrew.
Yeah, no.
That's pretty long.
Just me in the bathroom.
So I have you'll get this, Dave. I've gone from hating Matt Chambers because he's telling me that it's going to be 95 degrees to being really happy because it was going to be 49 during the morning. And now I'm just kind of not paying attention because I know it's hotter than I want it to be, but it's not aggressively hot. So I'm just sort of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Plus, you know what you got going for you tonight is the full moon, the full harvest moon.
Nice.
And there's a partial eclipse of the moon tonight. It's not going to be much. You're going to have to really be paying attention. It's at 9:41 is the maximum of the total eclipse. It's not a total eclipse. I shouldn't say that. Partial eclipse. And there's just a little sliver of the moon that's going to go dark. But if you're out there, first of all, you have to find the moon. But once you find the moon, you'll be okay.
He never forgets.
Easier said than done. I'm telling you.
He never forgets.
Telling you. I couldn't find that damn moon for anything.
Okay. And I want you to just go outside around, you know, do 9:15. Give yourself plenty of time here. 9:30. And you're going to look in the eastern sky, mm-hmm. and you're going to put your hand up about, let's say 30 degrees. And you'll be pointing right at the moon.
Impossible to measure any of these things.
30
east,
degrees.
30 degrees. Get out of here.
So that's about right at eye level, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right at eye level.
Dumb it down a little bit for us, Dave Murray.
Wow.
Dave, you ever track the ISS and watch it?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
It's really cool.
That's fun to know.
It is really cool. I think there are some people who think, you know, that it's going to be like a Star Wars thing. But it's a bright, fast-moving star. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat to watch. It grabs your attention, and it's like, when you really think about it, that's really cool.
Have you guys seen the Starlink when that goes by?
Yes, mm-hmm. one time.
It looks like a choo-choo train in the sky.
Really weird.
Yeah.
We had a spectacular launch out of Vandenberg about a month ago. There's actually a launch tomorrow morning, but we'll see what happens with that. We'll not be visible in St. Louis.
I'm old enough. I remember seeing Skylab. Remember Skylab, Dave?
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah, I'm into all Skylab. That stuff. Yeah. I'm into all that astronomy stuff.
What's that, Andrew?
What's Skylab?
Skylab was like the original ISS.
Yeah, it was before that.
Were there like people in it?
Yes, it was a lab. Yeah, so that means they... people go in there and do stuff.
These two have been fighting all day, Dave.
He's been so mean to me.
Are there people in the lab? Nope, they just sent a lab into space
reason. They sent dogs and monkeys up there. Maybe it's a dog and monkey lab.
Do you think it's like the dog lab?
Sky
like
Labrador.
It's a yellow lab?
Could be a dog lab.
I love it. That's great. It was a black lab. You wouldn't be able to see it in the sky.
So, relief by the weekend, Dave, or no?
Let's not get our hopes up for it. I think it will be a little bit cooler for the weekend, but the cooler air that I see on the horizon is not until probably the middle of next week. So, we've got a couple of warm to hot days. The mornings are fine, but they're not cool by any means. But 89, 90 should do it for the high tomorrow. Lots of sunshine. So just a couple of degrees warmer than today. 90 degrees on Thursday, sunshine. Friday, I'm going to put in a chance of a couple of spot showers in the morning. Otherwise, it's partly sunny and 92 degrees on Friday. I think that's going to feel a little bit on the hot side. Fall officially begins on Sunday, September 22nd at 7:43 in the morning.
That's positive. I like that.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I don't care if it's fall if it's still going to be 100 degrees out.
I love the voice you do, Andrew. All of a sudden, Beavis and Butthead came into the studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of, do you have some headlines?
I do have some headlines, and they are some good ones. And it's nothing awkward like it's been in the past, nothing weird.
Okay.
These are really good, and I'm going to do a really good job at it.
When's Rachel come back?
Not soon
enough. Like 4 years.
Not fast enough. DM, not fast enough. Top story, Red Lobster exits Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They approved their restructuring, their reorganizing, and so Red Lobster no longer in the red. They are Green Lobster now.
Weren't you?
How about that?
I'm not just calling you out on this. I'm really curious. Didn't you claim like they were done because of their leases or something like that?
They were in a very dangerous predatory situation where the company that owned them now no longer does. They've been acquired by a different investment company. So who knows if it'll be the same thing? But the prior investment company. Sold the land that Red Lobster was on and then was charging them for... So where they used to own their... They went from owning all their restaurants to not owning their restaurants and having to pay rent towards it. It was a very predatory situation that the company themselves found themselves in to the benefit of the investment group that owned them. That ended up, I think, ultimately... I'm sure it gained them some money, but now it seems that it has not worked anymore since they have... been sold to Fortress Investment Group, which I guess is good.
Look at this. Andrew's sounding like business news all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't. Hey, listen, when it involves Red Lobster, that's when I clue myself in. That's what it takes to get
a heart topic.
That's what it takes to get me invested in business news. The new CEO said Red Lobster is now a stronger, more resilient company, and today is the start of a new chapter. But they will not be reopening any of the closed ones, but they will be not closing anymore for the time being, it sounds like. Online grocery shopping is going to shoot way up during the holidays, it's expected. When you have your holiday parties, it's more, it's assumed now that people are going to be using like Amazon, Instacart, other deliveries, shopping services to bring you all your groceries. How do you guys feel about that?
Why would that be shooting up for the holidays?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I think specifically because if I had to guess at least, it doesn't say anything in the story, but if I had to guess, there is a certain stigma around going to the grocery store around the holidays.
And it does suck.
It's going to be a nightmare that sucks. And then you look at something like Instacart or Amazon deliveries and you go, hey, this could suck for you and not me, and I'll kick you cash.
What do you guys do with your DoorDashes? Because if I DoorDash McDonald's and it ends up, and this is embarrassing, but it does sometimes, just where a normal meal ends up being $23-24 just for me. And if I tip them $5 or $6 just to go get one bag from McDonald's. Then if they go to Deerberg's or Schnucks and they do my shopping for me, like I feel like I need to tip them a bunch more because they're actually going into a store and they're looking for my coffee and then they're looking for my toilet paper and they're blah, 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 blah.
When I have done Instacart, which I've done it a few times, I enjoy it. I like grocery shopping for people. It's fun. It makes me feel like I'm helping. Makes me feel like I'm accomplishing
something.
Maybe
you should do my shopping for me.
I would be happy to. I expected and usually received a decent tip.
Like what's decent?
$10, $15 I always thought would
that's
be
pretty good.
Fine. You know, some people had very small orders, and when that's the case, it would be hard for me to be like, where's my $15 tip?
I just pulled up a article that says that especially for complicated or large orders, 15-20%.
Yeah, and I never worried too much about the percent. I never tried to calculate like what the percent of any order would be.
I think I've been under tipping on groceries then. Because if I do I don't typically do like $150
you
order.
You don't have huge orders, though.
No, that's like I'll do a $50-$60 order and I'll give them like $10.
No, I think the simpler, to me, it's more about the complexity of it, right? If you're doing a $200 order, There's a lot of sorting to go through, right? You have to find things. Or if you have, like, I want this very specific thing in this specific aisle. Like, I think the more detailed and the larger it is, the more work it is. A $50 or $60 shopping order is pretty easy to put together.
DoorDash, I don't necessarily think of that in the same way. See, DoorDash, they give it to you already packaged up in a bag. So even if you order, like, $200 worth of food, that just means now I'm carrying two bags of food instead of one.
I didn't know that.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
DoorDash doesn't do the shopping.
Yeah.
That makes sense because it's the you're paying for the delivery.
Yeah. Whereas with Instacart, I am also if I'm your Instacart driver, I'm also going in and doing all the shopping for you.
Right.
So I never really stressed. I've heard if you have a huge DoorDash order, you should tip a bunch more. I don't necessarily know if I never felt that way when I was doing it because it's just so easy. Whereas Instacart, if I'm grabbing you a gallon of milk and, you know, three frozen pizzas or whatever, just to get you through the weekend or whatever, I never would be like, you better tip me huge for this. But if I'm doing your whole next 2 weeks shopping for you and your six kids.
Right. If you're getting fresh produce and going to the meat counter. Yeah.
Like Amy asked one time what she should tip. Because they do a lot of Instacart type stuff and they have a pretty big family. So they get a ton of stuff. And I was like, yeah, you want to make sure you're putting a decent tip on that. That's my feelings, at least.
One more story?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. All right. We'll do the next most important one, I suppose. And that's that Popeyes is adding a new value meal to the menu. Which this is sorely needed. I went to Popeyes I went to Popeyes in Florissant not that long ago because Popeyes in Alton does not technically exist. It exists in the absolute barest way a fast food restaurant could possibly exist. It is the worst place I've ever been.
You drove across state lines to get Popeyes?
You better believe I did. On a Sunday night. Popeyes on a Sunday night, baby. And it was expensive. It was quite pricey to go to Popeyes in Florissant.
Welcome, Missouri.
I know. So this will be, but this will be three pieces of chicken for $5. That's going to be the $5 meal at Popeyes. Seems like a solid deal. Make sure you get the Mardi Gras fries and the Mardi Gras
mustard. I think I might need to pay more.
Yeah.
I don't feel good safe about it. Feeding $5 worth of chicken.
I get the $5 meal at KFC downstairs all the time. It's a thigh, it's a leg, and a biscuit.
Useless.
I'm with you, man. I don't like those.
And mashed taters. Some mashies.
Yeah, those are good too.
$5. That's a good deal. Arguably a better deal than Popeyes. I'm just saying they should add a side to that.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
It is 3:48, and your time check brought to you by FIRA Capital Management.
Coming up top of the hour, we have the Think Tank with Ian Mackey and Gene Evans. So you're obsessed with swamp people?
Yeah.
Kind of late to the game there, Chief.
Wait. I love the swamp people.
The show?
Yeah. It's such a good show.
It's been around for a long time, right?
Yeah, it's been around for about 14 years. But I love
those guys with the beards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, that's Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty sucks,
and I hate it. No, Swamp People's great. It's every episode is the exact
shoot
same.
Shoot 'em.
They go like. Troy's gonna have to catch a lot of alligators if he wants to catch enough alligators. And then he goes out and he's like, "I'm gonna catch all these alligators." And then
what do they do with them?
Then they show him catching. They shoot them. So they bring them up so they meat and also skins.
Oh, okay.
It's like hunting season that lasts like a month. Yeah, it's their business. And every episode's the exact same. They got to go out there and catch some alligators. They go out there and do it exact same way every single time.
I agree.
Then they haul them in and bring them home. And I could just watch, and I have, because my dad's gotten really into it too, just watch hours of that stuff.
And I hate when they try something new. Like, oh, Troy's going to have a good old-fashioned shrimp boil. I'm like, I don't care. I don't know.
I don't care about him catching shrimp.
Get your ass in the boat. Go catch alligators.
They get little ones?
They try not to because little ones sell for a lot less.
I see. So the more you get,
you can only get 90.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Up top of the hour, we have the Think Tank with Ian Mackey and Gene Evans. So you're obsessed with swamp people?
Yeah.
Kind of late to the game there, Chief.
Wait. I love the swamp people.
The show?
Yeah. It's such a good show,
It's been around for a long time, right?
It's been around for about 14 years. But I love
those guys with the beards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, that's Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty sucks,
and I hate it. No, Swamp People's great. It's every episode is the exact
shoot
same.
Shoot them!
They go like, Troy's going to have to catch a lot of alligators if he wants to catch enough alligators. And then he goes out and he's like, "I'm going to catch all these alligators." And then
what do they do with them?
Then they show him catching. They shoot them. So they bring them up so they meat and also skins.
Oh, okay.
It's like hunting season that lasts like a month. Yeah, it's their business. And every episode's the exact same. They got to go out there and catch some alligators. They go out there and do it exact same way every single time.
I agree.
Then they haul them in and bring them home. And I could just watch, and I have, because my dad's gotten really into it too, just watch hours of that stuff.
And I hate when they try something new. Like, oh, Troy's going to have a good old-fashioned shrimp boil. I'm like, I don't care. I don't know.
I don't care about him catching shrimp.
Get your ass in the boat. Go catch alligators.
They get little ones?
They try not to
because little ones sell for a lot less.
I see. So the more you get, you can only get
90.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.